It's nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. 45 degrees in beautiful downtown Kodiak right now. We're looking for sunny skies today, mostly clear skies tonight, and sunny skies tomorrow as well. Just a reminder, the library garden put-away dig is going on right now. Great weather for it. So if you have the time, you might want to show up at the library and do a little digging for them. Stay tuned for the Emergency Operations Center's update coming up in 10 seconds.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining in today, October 15th, 2020. My name is Mike Twenge, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Director. With me today are members of the ESC, the Policy Board for the Community EOC. Today is day 213 since the EOC stood up in response to the first news of the coronavirus, also called COVID-19. You've heard me numerous times call it the nasty virus. This virus is not leaving us alone. In fact, it is surging across the state of Alaska, including the Midwest and the Western states. Across Europe, the surge in new cases is also rising. We heard today that Western and rural Alaska are now seeing spikes, with the Bethel census area announcing over 100 cases to date. We may be experiencing the start of the second wave. This morning, the ESC spoke with the state's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ann Zink. The Department of Health and Social Services is monitoring the surge in cases and keeping close count on the hospital ICU bed capacity. She spoke of the need to wear a mask and get tested at the onset of COVID symptoms, and the importance of following up quickly with contact tracing. Public Health and the Coast Guard conduct contact tracing here on the island, and I understand the Coast Guard has 17 members conducting tracing. We spoke about the November 15th date. The state emergency declaration is scheduled to expire. There's no word yet if that will be extended, but the Kodiak EOC is going to continue to take mitigation preventative measures beyond that date, regardless of the governor's decision to extend or end the declaration. Dr. Zink stated with certainty the virus will not be gone by November 15th. She spoke of the new testing methods, such as the antigen card test, being evaluated in clinical trials. These trials still are not showing results as accurate as the current Abbott rapid test or the Cepheid test, which we are doing here on the island. We appreciate the work she and her staff are doing to protect Alaskans from the virus and keeping us all informed. The Kodiak EOC continues to receive testing supplies from the State Emergency Operations Center, and we are able to pass those through to our medical providers conducting the tests many of you have used. Today, the state of Alaska reported 153 new cases of the coronavirus. This information can be found at covid19.alaska.gov. In total, 65 Alaskans with COVID-19 have died since the pandemic began here in March. Today's Alaska dashboard will report 10,323 total resident cases. The case count is trending upward. The virus is certainly among us. If you plan to travel, continue to take precautions and take a couple days around the house when you return to understand your health and prevent any potential spread. We've experienced a recent uptake in COVID-19 cases on the island in the past 2 weeks. You've heard the EOC reporting almost daily. Today, the EOC is announcing one new case since yesterday. There's been 3 cases so far this week. Today's case is listed as a community spread. Folks, these cases are spreading by close contact and in the workplace and our social gatherings. Many of us are experiencing COVID fatigue. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to continue what we have been doing. We're going to keep our social bubbles small, continue to wear a mask, which is proven to reduce the spread. Stand back from people who are not in your household, especially in public spaces, as you talk or wait in line. Wear that mask, even if you're standing in line just to pick up a takeout food order. Stay home if you're sick. Test when you feel the symptoms. The most common symptoms are an altered sense of smell and taste, headache, severe fatigue, and fever. So if you are feeling ill, stay home. Your employer will surely understand. It's not worth the risk of infecting your workplace. Some ideas like today, beautiful day, get outside. Keep a good diet. Take care of your mental health and continue to take precautions to prevent the spread of the virus. The Bayside Fire Station testing site at 4606 East Resinoff Drive remains open Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 p.m. for COVID tests. Right now, with the rapid testing going on, they're prioritizing for symptomatic persons. However, non-symptomatic tests are still being conducted. For more information or to schedule a COVID-19 test, call CANA at 486-9870 or KCHC at 481-5000. In total, they've tested over 13,000 people so far. The Kodiak Airport is reporting an average of 70 passengers traveling per day right now. Again, if you plan to travel, continue to take precautions. Take a couple days around the house when you return to understand your health and prevent any potential spread. Again, caution goes out to those visiting as well. Please stick to your social bubble. The Kodiak Harbor Master has issued 166 harbor use agreements with two vessels currently in quarantine. The harbor has been very effective in managing the fishing fleet, and the fleet has been very cooperative. Thank you for that. With the flu season beginning, some of the same precautions you take to protect yourself from COVID-19 can be applied to avoiding the flu. Many people are beginning to receive this year's flu shot. They are available locally from your healthcare provider or the Safeway Pharmacy. Public Health and the Kodiak EMTs are conducting point of dispensing services for the flu shot. Two seafood processors recently took advantage of this offer. A reminder to use the support services in town to order supplies, do errands, especially when there are spikes in the number of COVID-19 cases in town or on the island. Again, caution goes out to those visiting as well. Stick to your social bubble. The Kodiak Community Support Team phone number is 486-7656. They also provide counseling service, or if you call them to simply talk about some of your feelings. You know, find an activity that makes you happy. Find a way to relax. I know it's easily said, but mental health is so important to our well-being. Find time in your day to share a laugh. Call a loved one you haven't spoken to in a while. Share a story. We all love stories. I do. Most of all, hang in there. We can get through this pandemic together. Lastly, remember to stand back. Wear a mask and wash your hands with warm water, soap, and bubbles. Again, we'll return next Thursday at noon for another community update. I would like to thank the Kodiak Island Borough School District for live streaming this, KMXT and KVOK for broadcasting these community updates. Stay Kodiak strong. Thank you very much.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
A Kodiak fisherman was in the headlines last month when he pitched a tent in front of the Providence, Alaska Medical Center. Marvin Abbott camped out at the Anchorage Hospital for more than a month to protest its COVID-19 policies, which restricts the patient's visits as a safety precaution. His daughter, Rochelle, was medevaced from Kodiak to Providence after a severe asthma attack that's left her in a coma. KMXT's Rhonda McBride followed Abbott's fight to visit his daughter.
The leaves were green when Marvin Abbott set up a cot near the edge of the street. Soon, he had a tent given to him by someone who heard his story on the news. Another man, Abbott describes as a guy with a big truck and a big heart, dropped off a big box.
Got you guys a heater so you guys could huddle around it and keep warm.
Since then, the leaves have turned to gold and scattered. And all the while, his daughter Rochelle remained in a coma. During that time, the hospital allowed Abbott to visit her three times. But most days, he sat on the curb and looked up at her window.
It makes it easier sitting here for me, being close to her. I don't know, I feel more in touch with her when I'm sitting here looking across. I know I should be up there in the room next to her holding her hand.
Most families with loved ones at Providence have not been allowed to visit, part of the hospital's strict policy to prevent the spread of the virus. So how did Abbott get to see his daughter? The hospital says the visits had nothing to do with his protest, but were allowed because doctors needed to ask him about his daughter's care.
We got another call.
This is the hospital.
Which calls every few days.
I'm doing okay.
Dr. Michael Bernstein is Providence's chief medical officer and says the hospital had hoped to relax its visitation policies, but with the coronavirus on the upswing, that's not likely to happen anytime soon.
It's all a matter of weighing the risks versus the potential benefits, and they're tough decisions to make, believe me.
Dr. Bernstein says there's a lot at stake.
We're also a major trauma center. We're the largest hospital in the state. If we had an outbreak amongst our staff, as has happened in other places and in one of our skilled nursing facilities, it can devastate our ability to provide any type of care to the community.
But for families with patients, the hospital's policy takes a toll. Marvin Abbott's mother, Lydia Olson, followed her son from Kodiak to Anchorage. And although she stayed with a family friend, she went to his camp every day in support.
He said, "Mom, I gotta go. I gotta do something." So he had a sign made with a picture of her in ICU. And it said, "Let me see her."
Lydia Olson listened in on her cell phone when her son visited the ICU.
He said he just talked the whole hour to her, reminded her of what a strong person she is.
Marvin Abbott says he constantly told his daughter how proud he was of her and all that she had overcome.
When she was 20, she got pregnant in high school and had a kid, and, you know, she never gave up. She graduated at the age of 20 almost. She was almost 20 years old when she walked and got her diploma, but she never gave up. She's always fought to the end, you know.
Abbott says Rochelle had a successful summer working on a fishing boat and at 26 had finally turned her life around. In his curbside conversations, he told her how much she has to live for and how much her 9-year-old daughter Izzy needs her mom.
I fully believe that it would be helpful for Izzy and Papa to get in to see Rochelle. I think their presence and their voices can do things that the doctors can't do for them.
People drop by Abbott's tent every day to tell him they thought it was wrong for the hospital to keep him from his daughter.
I just hope that, you're able to keep high spirits.
Bailey Klappenbach dropped off a handwritten note for the Abbott family, one of hundreds of strangers who dropped by to offer encouragement. Bill Pagaran, a Tlingit drummer, came to sing a song of healing and asked Abbott to beat the drum along with him. He also encouraged Abbott to pray out loud, which Abbott said was the most helpful advice he'd had during this whole ordeal.
The outpouring of love and support and encouragement has been absolutely phenomenal. He knows he's not alone. So it became a thing about not only doing it for himself, but doing it for other people.
In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Thank you, Rhonda. Kodiak has another new confirmed case of COVID-19 today, as we just heard from the Kodiak Emergency Services Organization. The individual is a Kodiak resident, and their contraction of the virus is presently under investigation. Staff from the Department of Public Health are in contact with the individual and will ensure self-isolation and care. This brings the active case count to 7 in total, down from 18 last Friday. The total overall for the Kodiak Island Borough since the start of the outbreak is 97. An elderly Delta Junction woman with lung disease says she was mistreated and manhandled Saturday by Alaska Airlines personnel and Fairbanks International Airport police as they were removing her from a plane because she refused to wear the type of mask the airline requires. KUAC's Tim Ellis has this report.
Judy Ferguson said she just settled in Saturday for a flight to Seattle, where she was to talk with her doctor about treatment of her pulmonary fibrosis. She wore an N95 mask and visor while boarding, then changed into a respirator helmet, which looks sort of like what firefighters wear in a burning building, when she was approached by an Alaska Airlines employee.
The agent told me to take off my respirator helmet. I told him I'm 75. I have lung fibrosis, which is terminal. I'm going to critical appointments in Seattle at the University of Washington Medical Center, and I will not remove my ventilator helmet.
Ferguson says she was trying to explain to the man, who she was told was a gate agent, that her respirator helmet was safer than the surgical mask that he was insisting that she wear. Those are the light blue fabric face coverings that, along with similarly designed cloth masks, complies with Alaska Airlines' mandatory face mask policy. But she says the agent gave her only a minute or so to explain before calling his supervisor.
The lead gate agent came and she said, I will not talk to you on this airplane. You have to get off the airplane and talk to me. So she said 6 times, get off the plane. That's the only way I will talk to you. And she never did talk to me.
By then, Ferguson said she'd removed her helmet and put the N95 and visor back on. She said she tried to explain to the agents that the N95 didn't have exhalation vents, so she wouldn't exhale viruses and put fellow passengers at risk of contracting COVID-19. She also tried to explain that she'd been told by Alaska Airlines personnel that that type of N95 complied with the policy, and that she was told by a doctor at UW Medical Center that surgical masks offer only limited protections.
She told me that a surgical mask or a cloth mask do not offer any protection longer than 20 minutes in an enclosed environment. I was going to be on the plane for about 4.5 hours.
But before she could explain all that, Ferguson says a couple of Alaska Airlines workers grabbed her carry-on bags and escorted her off the airplane. She says she was met at the gate by an airport police officer who forcefully escorted her to the ticket counter. She says an Alaska Airline ticket agent offered to book another flight in 2 hours if she calmed down. But she refused and left the airport.
I was emotionally violated. I had tremendous stress, a bruise on my arm. And it was beyond belief.
Ferguson is an author who's spent the past 53 years in the Delta Junction area, where she and her husband raised 3 kids. She believes she was mistreated at the airport and that her rights under the Americans with Disabilities Act were violated. She said Wednesday that she'd talked with a lawyer about the case, but decided against pursuing it. She says, however, Alaska Airlines should revisit its mask policy and ensure treatment of disabled customers complies with the ADA. Spokespersons for both Alaska Airlines and the State Department of Transportation declined to talk about the incident and instead sent written statements. The Transportation Department representative says Ferguson was uncooperative and disruptive. The Alaska Airlines rep says it has refunded the cost of her ticket and launched an internal investigation. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
A Kodiak woman has been named to the National 4-H Hall of Fame. The Cooperative Extension Service at the University of Alaska Fairbanks says that the honor goes to Marie Rice, a longtime 4-H member and leader. If you hear it from her friends, it's a wonder she didn't get the honor sooner.
I can't think of a more deserving person than Marie.
That's Marion Owen, longtime friend to Rice and fellow Green Thumb. She says that Rice has always gone above and beyond the call.
We did workshops, and she brought her tools and extra gloves, and it was just an amazing thing to see this person, bigger than life, helping others. It was just an extraordinary lesson for me about selfless giving.
4-H is a youth development group dedicated to advancing the life skills of children all over America. It has historically been tied to advancing rural living and agriculture by educating the young members in the community, which rings true in Kodiak. Rice helped to bring 4-H to Kodiak back in the 70s. She remained involved as a leader and 4-H council member for 46 years. Many traditions local to Kodiak 4-H began with Rice, including the community sourdough pancake breakfast fundraiser. Rice said she once prepared no less than 10 5-gallon buckets of sourdough batter for the event. Those in Kodiak who are touched by her work won't hesitate to tell you what a giving person she is.
A soul that expands way beyond the limits of just her physical body. And that goes for all the things that she would teach. And I always felt that she didn't sleep.
Rice, herself now 80, can hardly see what all the fuss is about.
Said I'm pretty modest about it. I don't want people to get tired of hearing about this, but and I feel very honored for the attention that I've gotten.
The ceremony to induct Rice into the Hall of Fame has been delayed until October 2021 due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The ceremony will be held at the National 4-H Conference Center in Maryland. The Alaska School Activities Association has canceled this year's state championship events for fall high school sports and activities. That includes football, gymnastics, volleyball, swimming, and diving. The association announced the decision on Tuesday. It says it decided to call off the events because of the rising number of coronavirus infections in Anchorage and other parts of the state and the potential impact of travel during the holiday season. The head of the association described the decision as difficult because of the impacts on student athletes, but also obvious given the state of the virus in Alaska today. The association has also postponed the start of winter activities until its board adopts a revised calendar. The Anchorage Community Development Authority is investing in a few major downtown properties, a move the organization says will reshape the area's future. On Monday, the ACDA announced its board had come to an agreement to purchase the JCPenney parking garage and JCPenney's majority ownership of the former Nordstrom building. Nordstrom closed its downtown store in 2019. In a press release about the sale, ACDA Executive Director Andrew Halcrow says, quote, "These historic acquisitions will provide the opportunity to redevelop two iconic city blocks in the heart of downtown and set the table for the next 50 years of growth." Under the terms of the agreement, ACDA will pay $1.7 million for the parking garage and $1.5 million for their 80% stake in the Nordstrom building. ACDA says it plans to close on the purchases by the end of the year.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Collapsible pots keep whales away and small boats in play. More after this.
An AMC-trained fisherman is more likely to survive an emergency at sea. Learn more at AMC.org.
Lightweight collapsible pots prevent whales from pirating black cod from longline hooks and give a break to small boats. Getting whaled is so pervasive, starting in 2017, fishery managers allowed the use of pot gear in the Gulf.
It just got to the point to where we just left tens of thousands of pounds of black cod unharvested because we were going backwards feeding the whales. and you can spread your strings 10 miles apart, and you might get one or two skates up and they find you, and then they pretty much strip you blind.
Frank Miles of Kodiak fishes black cod on his two boats, but his pots are now made with a knotless mesh that impedes a whale's ability to use sonar to detect the fish. Inventor Alexander Stubbs.
The pots that I'm producing now are a hot-dip galvanized high-carbon steel wire that's sort of formed into a helical spring with a closed end at both ends.
Stubbs is a San Francisco-based fisherman and research biologist who has sent thousands of pots to Alaska longline fishermen. Many couldn't switch to traditional rigid pots because their small boats simply didn't have the space. The mesh pots also are much safer.
There's a big difference between having a 22-pound spring hit you in rough weather versus a 100-plus-pound standard blackout pod.
The collapsible pots make it possible for any boat to carry the 300 gear limit. 55 will fit in a tote, says Frank Miles.
They spring out 36 inches in height by 5 feet in length.
At around $150 a pot, also incredible are the savings, Miles says. Buying pot gear and modifying a boat with hydraulics can cost several $100,000.
About 10% of the cost of a rigid frame buildup. The results have been incredible.
Find links and videos at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 15th day of October, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 8:46. It won't set again until 7:03 p.m. That's going to give us 10 hours and 17 minutes of glorious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 53 seconds compared to yesterday. We have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 1:37 p.m. That will be a 9.3-foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 7:45 p.m., a -2-foot tide. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 2:06 p.m. That will be a 16.9-foot tide. And your low tide this evening will be at 8:23 p.m. on the west side of -1.4 feet. 45 degrees here in Kodiak. It is a very nice day. And again, a reminder, the library is having their special digging party. It's going on right now until 3 o'clock. So if you have a little time and some grubby clothes, show up. They supply the tools. We're looking for mostly clear skies tonight, so some great stargazing overnight. Sunny skies tomorrow as well, with a high near 46 tomorrow. Increasing clouds tomorrow night, though, a low around 33 overnight as well, and a 30% chance of rain on Saturday, mainly after 4 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies and chances of rain, it looks like, until Tuesday, when they're talking about mostly sunny skies again. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A slow-moving trough will move across the northern Gulf through Friday and then dissipate. A high pressure over the western Gulf will build eastward across the Gulf through Friday night. Your resulting weather, Marmot Island is Sitkanak, Kodiak east side offshore. North winds to 20 knots right now and seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, northwest 15, seas to 7 feet. On our west side, the Shelikof Strait, north winds to 15 knots right now and seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, northeast winds to 20 knots and seas to 3 feet. We'll build to 5 feet in the Shelikof tomorrow afternoon. For inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays, north wind to 15 knots, seas to 2 feet. For tomorrow in Chiniac and Marmot Bays, northwest wind to 10 knots, seas to 2 feet. Just a reminder, if you have questions about Medicare, Lori Murdoch at the Senior Center is a certified Medicare counselor. If you'd like to reach her, you can call her at 486-6181. The Kodiak Arts Council is pleased to announce auditions for the community theater production Letters Aloud, Love Me or Leave Me, a reader's theater work celebrating the written word and highlighting historical letters of love, longing, and redemption. This is a great opportunity for actors who enjoy voice work and seek the challenge of conveying a range of emotion through voice and stationary movement. Auditions are being held this week by private appointment at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium from 4:30 to 7 p.m. each evening. Director Jesse Marlowe is looking to cast 4 to 6 adult actors, and performance dates will be November 20th to 22nd. To reserve your audition spot, you just need to complete a Google form on the Alt Arts Council website at www.kodiakarts.org, or you can call them at 486-5291 or 942-5840.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.